As the Lord speaks to us today on this glorious day of Christmas from Luke chapter 2. So Joseph also went up from the town of Nazareth to Galilee in Judah, to Bethlehem, the town of David, because he belonged to the house and the line of David. He went there to register with Mary, who was pledged to be married to him and was expecting a child. While they were there, the time came for the baby to be born. And she gave birth to her firstborn, a son. She wrapped him in clothes and placed him in a manger because there was no guest room available for them. And there were shepherds living out in the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flocks at night. An angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid. I bring you good news that will cause great joy for all the people. Today, in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is the Messiah, the Lord. This will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in clothes and lying in a manger." Suddenly, a great company of the heavenly hosts appeared, with the angel praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest heaven, and on earth peace to those whom His favor rests." When the angels had left them and gone into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let us go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has told us about." So they hurried off and found Mary and Joseph and the baby, who was lying in the manger. And when they had seen him, they spread the word concerning what had been told them about this child, and all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherds said to them. But Mary treasured up all these things and pondered them in her heart. The shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things they had heard and seen, which were just as they had been told. Please be seated. Peace and grace to you from our Lord God and Savior Jesus Christ, and blessings on your Christmas. Where is everybody? We had a packed house here last night. Well, they're sleeping, cooking, cleaning up or opening up. Yes? Perhaps we are in the shadow of Sodom and Gomorrah. Boy, what a horrible, ugly thing to say on a Christmas morning, isn't it? But indeed, perhaps we are in the shadow of Sodom and Gomorrah. Isn't it interesting the way God's Word lays things out for us? Horrible thing happened to Abraham. Horrible thing happens to us. God does strange things to the ones He loves. He tells Abraham, "Of all the people of the world, you're the one I have chosen, and from you I will build a house. And your descendants will be more than the sands of the sea or the stars in the heavens." Yes? Now here's a knife. Huh? You want what? Yes, I want you to circumcise yourself. You will bear in your flesh my mark. Ow. It's interesting. Christ bore in his flesh our sin. Mark of obedience, yes? And Abraham and his son, Ishmael, are circumcised. Ouch. This is how God loves you? Oy vey. And it's interesting, what happens immediately in the sequence after the circumcision? Three angels come to visit Abraham. Immediately after. In Judaism, the argument is he's still recovering. But even in spite of his pain, which I'm not sure I buy, by the way, in spite of that pain, he's ready to offer hospitality. He's a stranger in a strange land. God sends him into the promised land, promising him all this great wealth. And what does he find when he gets there? Famine! And in Hebrew, the root is evil. Famine and the word evil have the same root. You promised me good, but what did you give me? Evil. What does Naomi say when she returns to Bethlehem? I left full, but I returned empty. God has been evil to me. I cried to him, and how has he answered my prayers? With evil. Why did she leave in the first place? Because of famine, because she didn't trust God. Without faith, without trust, there is no relationship with God. So what does Abraham do? Immediately after his circumcision, he sees these three strangers out there, and he goes, I know what that's like. That becomes for him a passion. God does not say to Abraham, and this is very important, he does not say to Abraham, I want you to love the stranger. I want you to feed the stranger. I want you to be kind to the stranger. I command you to do this. And if you don't do this, I will not bless you. God never had to tell Abraham that. Abraham's sitting there by the tree and he goes, look, I'm a stranger in a foreign land. And the only good thing I have is God. That's all I need, by the way. At that point, Abraham started getting the whole picture. Faith began to take in that deep root. Abraham did not choose to have faith in God. God chose to have faith in Abraham, just like he does with us. And then that faith is grown like a seed within us. And Abraham becomes more and more reflective of the love and the passions of God. Talk about a Christmas story. Isn't it wonderful? And what is he's excited. Quick, quick, get my best to give to these strangers. And what does he receive? A great gift. As they stay before him, and he walks with them. Imagine him walking, if the Jews are right. Hey, this is not easy. But he escorts them in their journey. He doesn't just say, here's the door, good luck. He opens the door and walks out with them. Sends them on their way. In the same way that God sends us on our way through grace. He gives us the Holy Spirit. We're never alone. He walks with us. How many of us love that footprints in the sand, yes? And off he goes with them. And they turn to him. And suddenly he begins to realize, hey, this is God. Should we tell Abraham what we are about to do? How many times in the Bible has God said to a human being, should I share with you my plan? How many times? Yeah, interesting question, isn't it? We don't see that kind of intimacy until we see Jesus. Again, Abraham, Jesus, right? Suddenly, the disciples are walking with Jesus. And Jesus goes, let me share with you what's going on. How many times have they said, can you explain this? We don't understand this. The secrets of the kingdom are for you. And they walked with Jesus. They followed him. As Abraham follows the angels, yes? These three visitors. And God gives him a wonderful gift. And what does Abraham do with that gift? Abraham continues to extend his likeness of God by saying, will you save the people of Sodom and Gomorrah for 50 good men? With God, he begins to argue with God just for salvation. In Judaism, Abraham is much more wonderful than Noah for two reasons. One, Noah never prayed for anybody other than his own family. When he knew that the rest of humanity was going to die, He never raised his voice and said, Lord, can we talk about this? Is there any way you can save these people? Is there any way we can extend a chance? He goes, whoa, you're taking care of me. I'm happy. Good enough for me. And it's interesting because God had to shove him into the ark. He's standing out there for the very last minute. I don't know if I really want to let go. Maybe it's because he didn't want to bring others into the ark, which helped him stay out of the ark. Maybe this is why our churches are so empty. It's because we really don't have a passion to bring others in. We're pretty comfortable out there. Yeah, God's okay. I'm going to go to heaven one day, but right now, I'm okay. Don't be in a hurry, God. What is Christmas all about? We have Abraham, the father of a nation, who welcomes the stranger, who creates the foundation of hospitality and warmth and giving without the command of God, because he too knows what it means to be a stranger in a strange land. He knows what it means to be hungry. He knows what it means to be afraid. He knows what it means to be alone. And so he comforts those who are hungry and those who are afraid and those who are alone. And this is a passion for him. And somehow he knows deep inside him that if he comforts others, he can comfort himself. If he comforts someone who's alone, he doesn't feel as alone. You don't need a box of pills to fight depression. Go out and take care of somebody else, and you'll feel much, much better. When you're looking at the mirror and going, oh, poor me, now you're in trouble. But you go out and say, how can I help you? You will feel better. We were created in the image of God to give, not to take. Yes? To give, not to take. We always grow. We feel good about ourselves, and we feel good about life when we give. Rarely do we feel good when we take. Yes? This is the story of Christmas. Now, what happens with Jesus? Jesus can't even find a place to be born. Raise your hand if you've ever been in a barn or a stall. Okay, is that really the most wonderful place in the world to be? No. And this is where our King, our Savior, and God Himself in the flesh comes. Why? Because there's no other place for him. And who does not have any place for him? His own special people. The ones that he has given such tremendous hospitality and welcome to, there's no welcome found for him. And that welcome, that lack of welcome, goes all the way to the cross. They never, ever received him. And to this day, most Jews still do not receive him. We have that beautiful Protestant picture in the back of Jesus knocking on the door, right? And the handle's on the inside. How many people do you invite into your life before we go on with Jesus? You might invite them into your home. You might say to them, please, come on in. I'm so glad we're having a party. I'm having dinner. Welcome. Come on in. And then they sit down and they start eating at your table. And you go, oh my God, I invited this person here. Oy vey! Isn't it time to leave? Goodbye! Thank you! Honey, we're never going to ask that person to show up again. Come on, raise your hand, you've been there. It's really interesting, whenever we ask anybody to show up at our house, there's a big debate if our kids are around. You asked who to be here? Big riot. When are the times that we are the most devastated? It's not when someone stops loving us. Because God will never stop loving us. It's when we have no longer hospitality offered to us. Your husband has become a stranger to you at some time. Your husband has become a stranger to you as you have become a stranger to him. You have become strangers to each other. You in the back have become strangers to each other. Martin, you know this. You know this. You know this. You know this. You two have become strangers to each other and to your parents. My wife and I have become strangers. You have become strangers. You have become strangers. And so have you. We have become strangers to each other when we have chosen not to offer hospitality to the one we love. I tease my sister-in-law, and I know it's going to happen again when we go down today, and she always goes, "That's it, speak to the hand. Speak to there. Speak to there. I want nothing to do with you." She's my sister-in-law. I've known her for more than 30 years. But in a flash of an eye, suddenly she's a stranger. Because the hospitality is over. When do we get angry at someone? We feel our husbands, our wives, our children, our parents don't listen to us. And what happens? You can go away as far as I can. What? Yes? Come on, raise your hand if you've ever done that to someone you love. Raise your hand if it's ever been done to you by someone you love. Okay, yeah, do you see? So it's not that we don't love them. The reason why we're doing this is because we're hurt, because we do love, do you see? But what happens is we've decided, I'm going to close the door to hospitality. I'm not going to let you into my life. I'm not going to let you into my heart. I'm not going to let you into my soul. Out. And we feel that, don't we? Yeah? Suddenly, we're strangers. And what's the normal reaction when we become strangers in the presence of the ones we love? Anger. Yes? What was the response of Jesus in the presence when he became estranged and a stranger, by the way, is the same root, from the ones he loves and the ones who profess to love him? What was his response? Anger? Love. That's why we can't be God. We can't take this journey. Christmas is about hospitality. Christmas is about opening our hearts and our lives to everyone who comes into our lives. It's not about feeding some stranger at our table. It's to make sure that there's never a stranger at our table. That everyone who comes to our table is our brother or our sister, our mother or our father, our brothers or our sisters, our sons or our daughters. We should never have anyone a stranger. In this church right now, none of us should be strangers. We should never say to ourselves, "Oh, I'm glad those people are sitting over there and I'm sitting over here, thank God." It should be like, "How come I'm not sitting over there this Sunday when I should be? I should be sitting over there. I should be sitting over here." Yes? The time will come when we will, and it's beginning to come for me, when my children now are more separate, and for the first time, two of my children are not together for Christmas with us. And that's going to happen more and more. And as we get older, that's going to happen more and more, yes? Especially in the society we live in today. And as we become more and more distant, we can, in our old age, as time goes by, we can sit there and moan and groan and cry and say, oh, remember when we used to have everybody here? Or we can say, thank God that every moment I had with the ones I love, I welcomed them into my life, and they were never a stranger with me. Because once you welcome someone permanently into your life, you never lose them. Even if they fall asleep in the Lord. Yes? How many of us have lost parents? Have we really lost them? Or are they still alive deeply here? Huh? Once you welcome someone into your life, they are there for eternity. And Jesus Christ, this is what Christmas is all about. He opens his arms on the cross and he welcomes you into his very flesh, into his very life. And you are never, ever a stranger in his presence or at his table. You are never just someone receiving bread and wine. You are his brother and sister. You are his dear beloved lambs as you receive his body and his blood. You are members of the family of the King. Family of the King. That's who we are. And when God looks upon us through Jesus Christ, he knows us intimately, and we are always welcomed, and the door will never be shown to us. Do we invite God into our lives in the same way? Let us be this Christmas, for just this day, cautious and cognitive of the fact that maybe let us live this day as Abraham, knowing that we are in a strange land and that we own nothing, not even our lives, and that everyone else around us is poor like us and alone like us and afraid like us, and let us comfort their aloneness. Let us share their poverty. Let us embrace their hunger and share what we have. And all of God's people said,
Amen.